You got some options. Amen. You got options. Praise the Lord. Y'all didn't know that, did you? We have plenty of tissues. Oh, they didn't like that. Okay, 1 John 1:1-10. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. That's our title for today. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Father, we pray your blessings upon your word and upon your people that none of us here, pulpit, pew, whoever, whatever, would be able to hinder and to prevent what you have ordained to take place in your service. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Almost identical to what is going on today, when the Apostle John wrote this letter, there existed a lot of false teachings in and outside of the church. The purpose of this letter was to reassure Christians, especially the new Christians, to reassure them in their faith and to counter the false teachings. One false teaching was that was predominant was that one could fellowship with God and continue to walk in sin and darkness. In other words, you could accept God and fellowship with God and do what you want to do. The Apostle John had to teach against this because sin, by its very nature, brings death. And if this is true, how does one become forgiven or cleansed of sin? Where is that person's eternal life? And what did Jesus really come to do? It's deep because without sin, you don't need Jesus. No sin, no Jesus. No sin, no Jesus. Because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Romans 6:23, it goes on to say that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There are probably some of us walking around today who are feeling guilty before God because either somebody mistaught them or they misread the word or just don't understand the power of the shed blood of Jesus and faith in Jesus Christ. We have already been through the blood of Jesus. We have been forgiven. And the fact that we're saved doesn't give us a license to sin. It gives us the power over sin. See, we have to understand that we can't walk around with our heads down anymore because through the blood of Jesus, through our salvation, we have been forgiven. And when we repent has the kind of mindset, I want to get away from this thing, not to do it again. God's not playing a game, okay, keep on sinning and keep on coming back to me. That's what Paul was trying to say in Romans. He said, God forbid, because he said, where sin abound, grace much more abounded. And then somebody said, well, shucks, I better keep on sinning if I get more grace. Paul said, no. I need you to understand that salvation, the blood of Jesus, eradicates the sin. It takes the power of sin off your life. But there's some people, they haven't forgiven themselves. They think they can't take communion. They think they can't serve in church. They can't be an officer in the church. They can't be a leader in the church because something that they have not forgiven themselves for, but God has already forgiven you. I didn't say you didn't have the memory of it, but you don't have the burden of it because you've been forgiven. I didn't say girlfriend forgave you. I didn't say boyfriend forgave you. I said God forgave you. I didn't say your husband forgave you or your spouse or your ex. Or never mind. But we have to get our mind. That's the renewing of the mind. You got to know who you are in Christ. If any person be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We got too much baggage. And salvation in the blood of Jesus and our relationship with Christ takes away the baggage. But some of us want to be bad Christians. B-A-G, not B-A-D. We want to carry our stuff around. Because on the second Sunday of communion, when we have testimony, it sounds good. All these years, devil been on my track. Well, if I was you, I would change my track. I'd change my route. I would have changed lane. I would have got off of 76 and got on 95 if I were you. There's too much going on. But you have to understand what your salvation is and what the shed blood of Jesus means. That we have been, in fact, forgiven. And see, when forgiveness means the burden has come off, so you ought to walk around looking different, talking different, thinking different, feeling different, because there's no longer a burden. But if that's our pet sin,
that we really need to get on our knees and say, God, please break this thing from me. Confess means to acknowledge, decree, declare, admission of bad behavior with a desire not to return to it. So when you see the word confess in the Bible, it don't mean just come to the altar and say, I did it. Lord, I did it, and I don't want to do it no more. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is in fact weak. That's what we have to tell ourselves. We have to be real with this thing. You got the blood of Jesus. I thought about this thing. I said, Lord, you know what? Any time, any other place where blood is being shed, we get out of the way. Nobody wants their Sunday stuff messed up with the blood, with somebody else's blood. This is the only blood I know that got the power to sanctify, to make dirt light or white. This is the different kind of blood. Because if you cut yourself, you don't want to get it all over the place, all over your clothes. And our blood, it's not good. When you give blood to the Red Cross, they got to take that stuff, put it on ice. They got to separate it as soon as possible. And now they say blood got all kinds of stuff in it, but not the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, the same blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary, still got its power.
Yes, it does.
Because we don't have to continue to crucify him over and over again. He did it once and for all. He's the highest priest. So that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, that blood still has its power. It's still working in my life. It's working in your life. If you're going to get saved today, it'll begin to work in your life also. That's the power of the blood. There's wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. See, people need to know you've been forgiven. When you come, when you walk out of here, when you walk in the church, you are a forgiven person. You have a right to come to the throne of grace. You have a right to come to God because you've been forgiven. Your salvation gives you the right to say, Jesus is my daddy. But so many of us, we get caught up in stuff and we use this kind of stuff to stay away from. God said, come on, I want you to worship me. They that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. In order for you to do that, I made the power of my son, Jesus Christ's blood, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness and to give you the proper forgiveness that you need so you can start walking around ducking and dodging and hiding and scared of this and scared of that and scared the preacher might know. That's what you go to some conference, you think the people know everything about you. Some people, they be scared. They be hiding all of the chairs and stuff. Oh, the prophet's coming. But guess what? God will only release that which he wants known. And as Reverend Terrence said in the altar prayer, whatever you give him to him, he's not going to publish it in the Inquirer. He's not going to put it all out on the internet. Oh, my God. Somebody here today needs to know you've been forgiven. I know what the record says at City Hall. I know what the record says in jail. I know what your family think about you. I know what you think about yourself, but God thinks something different about you. How can I say something like that? Because when I was yet in my mess, when I was all messed up, wasn't fit to live, wasn't ready to die, God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross to redeem me, to reconcile me back to himself. We say that so much, but we don't really know what it means. It means that God sent Jesus to take my dirt and to make my dirt clean so I could be presented unto him, so I could fellowship with him, so he could love me and I could love him back, so he could turn my life around and he could do something with my life. We don't understand that. We walk around looking like somebody's better than us because of where we've been and what happened. Look, when you've been forgiven, the best thing you can do is look in the mirror and forgive yourself. There's always remnants of what we've been through.
Right.
I think Minister Miss said earlier, a scab shows that you heal from something. Amen. When Jesus got up, he had all the scars and everything. But guess what? They weren't bleeding no more. Oh, my God. See, he got, when the blood is applied, things begin to happen in your life. Every promise of God becomes yours when the blood is. If you truly saved and you believe that, so you can leave here shouting on the day because you can call your family up. Call everybody up. Put them on a conference call. Whatever y'all said about me, you keep on saying it. I've been forgiven. You need to let folks know I've been. Don't let folks throw stuff back up on you and have you all
cowered down somewhere, walking around looking at yourself some kind of way, because they keep bringing stuff up that you did a long time ago, and they don't even remember the details that's been so long ago, and you don't even want to come around, because every time you come around, they bring up stuff that you've been forgiven. You got to take that word and say, you know what, this is the last time I'm going to come to Thanksgiving dinner, and y'all going to talk about me after y'all get drunk. I mean, after y'all had You got to understand, folks feel better talking about your mess because they got mess. Oh, people will do that to you. Well, bring your mess up so you don't have to talk about theirs. And they ask stuff. Everybody's story is a fish story. They add stuff to it. But see, you got to know who you are. That's how you walk in confidence in Christ. I didn't say with full pride. I didn't say with overconfidence. I have confidence in Christ that whatever God cleansed me from, I'm cleansed from it. Whatever He forgave me for, I'm already forgiven. Whether I see you or not. You know, you got to understand, if I ask you for forgiveness and you refuse to forgive me, I've done what I'm supposed to do. Because God has, I'm going to walk on. I'm going to move on in my life. If you want to hold that over yourself, hold it over yourself. You can no longer hold it over me. Because I went to church this past Sunday and I found out that stuff that you had over me, it is no longer over me. I have been forgiven. It has dissipated. It has disappeared. The cloud is no longer there. I'm going to walk like God tell me to walk. I'm going to talk like God tell me to talk. I'm coming up out of this thing. You don't put your foot on my neck long enough. I'm about to rise up. I'm about to come up out of this mess. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. When we repent, that word in the Greek means a change of mind, to change any or all of the elements comprising one's life, attitude, thoughts, and behaviors concerning the demands of God for right living. So repentance means I'm going to change my mind according to what God has called me to do. That's what true repentance is. That's what it is. So we can't walk on things like, you know, God know my heart. I got to go back over here one more time. That's your flesh taking control of your spirit. And your spirit is supposed to take control of your flesh. And look, Bible says sin is pleasure for a season. For a season. There's more than one season. And there's more than one reason. God's trying to get us out of this stuff. Oh, my God. As we look at 1 John. 1 John 1, 1 through 10, we want to talk about confession of sin, forgiveness of sin, and cleansing of sin. Confession of sin, forgiveness of sin, and cleansing of sin. Wow. Earlier this morning, God said, you know, when you talk about sin, you ain't supposed to get no hallelujah shouted amen. You know, sin is sin. Sin is a mess. But salvation is necessary. That's what S-I-N means. S-I-N, salvation is necessary. If it wasn't for my sin, God couldn't be my Savior. But now He's become my Savior, I have to have a desire not to stay in sin. Look at verse 1. This is the Apostle John. He's the eyewitness. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. If you go to John chapter 1, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. John's got this same theme here. For the life is manifest. He said, we saw it. We have seen it. We bore witness to the life. And we show unto you that eternal life, which is with the Father, was manifested unto us. He said, I got something good for you. He said, I want to show you and I want to explain to you about this eternal life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship. And fellowship, that word in the Greek means koinonia, with us, which means a close association between persons who are emphasizing what is common between them. If you hear that sometimes, a koinonia fellowship. That's all they're talking about. People who are all on one accord, all in one place. In the book of Acts, when they're in the upper room, that was a koinonia fellowship.
Yeah.
And when there's a koinonia fellowship, the Spirit of God begins to take place, to take over. He said, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He said, if you want a fellowship with us, you need to know our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's powerful. He said, you can't just fellowship with us. Don't come all up in here with your mess. You got to understand, we're fellowshipping with the Father and the Son. There's some rules for this fellowship. If you want to fellowship with us, don't get mad with us if we don't do what you do. hey, if you want to come into this fellowship, we fellowship with the Father and the Son. And we have witnessed it and we know about it. But he says, you know what? You haven't. But I want to share it with you. So verse 4 says, these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. You'll find that same thing in John 15:11, that your joy might be full. But look at verse 5. Then this is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. Yep. Simply saying that light represents what is good, pure, true, holy, and reliable. And in him is no darkness at all. In other words, if we're going to fellowship with God, if we're going to fellowship with his Son, that we must walk in the light, because in God there is no darkness. Therefore, in order for me to fellowship with God, I got to get rid of my darkness. Well, God, since you want me to fellowship with you, since you made me for the praise of your glory, then how do I get rid of my darkness? He said, that's why I sent Jesus. Not only do I want to fellowship with you, I've given you a way to get rid of your darkness. He said, in Christ, in God, there's no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk on purpose, let's make it plain, in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Nobody likes to be called a liar. But John said, you're a liar. If we say we belong to God and we on purpose walk in evil, walk in error, walk in sin, walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's why folks don't like you, because you're walking in the light. You used to walk in darkness. And now since you're walking in the light, y'all don't have anything in common. And now they got an attitude with you. They hate you. They're upset with you. Because you want to walk in the light. You want to change your life. You want to do things differently. I can't understand. If I change my life, why is this skin off your nose? Oh, because I was buying all the drinks, and I was buying all the drugs, and I had all the money, and I had all the food, and I was a house that you could stay and sleep over all night long and have me lying to your spouse when they wonder where you are. Oh, I'm... So really, you don't really care about my life. You care about the things I provided for you while we were in darkness together. But now I'm coming up out of darkness, and you got a problem with me walking in the light. And what you really want is all the things that I gave you. So if I give you some money, if I give you some liquor, if I give you some drugs, if I let you stay in my house, you don't care what church I go to. You don't care what happens to me. See, when you begin to accept Christ, begin to walk in the light, you find out who your friends really are. You find out what folks really think about you. You ain't all that nice, all of a sudden you start pulling back stuff. Or don't ask them, well, why don't you buy this time? You always buy. Folk love when we mess around in that darkness with them. But then when you want to make something better out of your life, when you want to do something different, not just in darkness, you could have a friend or a bunch of friends. As soon as you start getting your life together, someone will get an attitude. They be talking about you. You ain't asking for nothing. You ain't asking for no money for tuition. You ain't asking to pray with you. You ain't asking to clean your house. You ain't asking to buy you a steak, chicken sandwich, nothing. You ain't asking for a thing. But they mad with you because you trying to get up out of the nest that you found. One day you had a revelation. You got up one morning and said, you know what? I can't do this no more. I can't live like this no more. And they mad with you because you want to come up out of the muck and the miry clay and do something with your life. Ain't that something? Misery, love, company. You're just trying to make something out of your life. You had a revelation. God said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And now they're upset with you because you want to pull away from the group. Ain't that something? You want to pull away. You actually want to make something out of it. I can't believe it. Thank you. All this time we've been homies. And homegirls. Now you decide. Because you got them in grand hand. Now you decide that you want to make something. Don't matter when you start, get it started. Get that thing done. But you got to be careful who you consider to be your friends. And be careful who you depend on.
Because some of us need to get out of some situation we're in, but you think you can't make it because you're dependent on that person that makes you think you can make it. And they really not the one that you really make it in from. It's a God up above who takes care of you. Oh, glory be to God. See, you made that up. The scripture didn't say stick to him, stick to her because you can't make it without him. God said, I am the I am God. And sometimes we're so afraid to step out. God said, go ahead, step out on me. Step out on faith. Go ahead. You may not have what you have for a minute. But let me get all up in there. Let me know you for real. Let me know you're not playing this time. Some of us need to let folks know you're not playing this time. Because you, the last time you messed around saying all this stuff and you went back. Oh! But now you got the blood of Jesus on your life. Oh, that makes a difference. Not only are you saying what's right, you looking right. You looking different. You walking different. You're talking different. But if we walk in the light and he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what kind of sin? How much? All sin. No hindrance. Whatever it is, if we confess it, God can handle it. Who in here has blown God's mind? Who in here messed up heaven? Who in here wrecked heaven last week with what you did or what you thought you did or what they called you? You can't mess God up. You can't blow God's mind. You can't make God have a board meeting where he don't know what to do. There's no scripture that God was up in heaven scratching his head and walking around the table and looking at the angels and looking at Jesus and saying, Lord, what are we going to do? You can't mess God up like that. There's nothing on earth that God can't handle. There's nothing that you can do that you and I can't be forgiven for, save the intentional blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Somebody didn't know you'd be cleansed. Hallelujah. You already did your time. You'd be cleansed. I ain't talking about jail that's doing time. You've been involved somewhere. You've been doing something. And you did your time. You about fed up. You know you got a right to be fed up sometime. I wish I had a witness in here. You got to keep on taking stuff. When God says it's got to be different, it ought to be different. And when God says it ought to be different, then you ought to say, Lord, well, show me how it's going to be different. Because I don't want to mess up. I don't want to have to go back. But you know, and what's deep is how God does it. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. When you be pulling away from stuff, the people that you pull away from, it doesn't look right in the beginning. Boy, they be laughing. Oh yeah, you thought you was something going up there, joining that church. Got saved. They get on the phone. They be talking about you all on Facebook. Such and such, mighty and natural, they covered by the blood, and all this kind of stuff. Got all hooked up with this church, and these people telling them all that stuff. They went and spent $50 on a leather-bound Bible with the gold flex pages, thumb indexed in everything, and they think they got it going on now. But after a while, all of a sudden, they start talking about, whoa, she's serious. You laugh out loud. Shaking my head. Go ahead, shake your. Come on. Let him laugh. Let him shake their head. Because you're going somewhere. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Things are different now. The things I used to do, I don't do. No. See, when the blood gets in there, there's a renewing of the mind. There's a regeneration of the spirit. You'll become a totally new person. Same body, but a different spirit. My God, when that anointing falls upon your life. Look at verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. That's deep. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You can't deceive God. And the truth is not in us. In other words, John said, don't play games with yourself. All these false teachers coming in and out of here, they trying to mess you up because they don't want you to be blessed. You ever been around somebody don't want you to be blessed? I think I heard a conversation with somebody saying that, somebody on their job just started just messing with them because they didn't want them to get the promotion. They just started talking about them and telling all kinds of lies on them and everything because they didn't want them to get the promotion. So they started the commotion. Verse 9 is where we're going to hang our head. If we confess our sin, that's an S on that one, sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, because our righteousness ain't nothing but filthy rags.
So, number one, if we confess our sin, which means we don't have to have the burden of sin. We've got somewhere to take it. Every Tuesday night, except for the holiday, if a holiday falls on a Monday, we put our trash out. We put stuff out that we don't want. God said, you can come to me and give me your trash. Give me that which you don't need, that which you don't want, that which is not profitable to your life. So I'm going to confess my sin. I don't want the burden of sin. I don't have to carry the burden of sin because Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. He came and took my mess. Oh, my God, my God. Has God ever helped somebody that mess? You know, anybody, you got babies over there. Your babies make a mess. They can't clean it up. God said, look, I'm going to clean up your mess. And as long as you're willing to recognize that you have sinned and confess it, I will continue to clean up. Because people say, but how about when I fall back into it? Look, he's a God of another chance, not just a second chance. And when you're really trying to get out of something, God will get you out of it. Hallelujah. I wish I had. Look, when you're really trying to get out of something, God will help you get out of it. Because he knows your heart. So confession of sin, there's no burden. He said, if we confess our sin, and then it says, he's faithful and just to forgive us. When we have confession, then we have forgiveness. I'm on my way somewhere if I got confession and forgiveness. Because I'm no longer carrying the burden. And now I've been forgiven. Lord, have mercy. I've been forgiven because I gave him my mess. He forgave me for the mess that I was in. Now I'm forgiven. I confess my sin. And now he's going to cleanse me from everything that sin did to my life, in my life. Oh, my God. So when you see me, I might have on the same robe. I might have on the same suit, but I'm different. And I'm different on the inside, but you got to hang around me because it takes a little while for the inside to show on the outside. If we confess our sin, no burden, then we're forgiven, no guilt, and then he cleanses us, no stain. No burden, no guilt, no stain. Sound like Tide washing powder, don't it? No burden, no guilt. He wants us to worship him freely. Therefore, the blood of Jesus has the power to take away the burden of sin through confession, the forgiveness of sin, the guilt through the blood of Jesus, and the cleansing of sin through the blood of Jesus, no stain. Which means that the stuff I used to do, you can't find no trace of it in my life right now. You may have heard it. Where's your proof? And why even for the proof of what I did, how about what you did? How about you might still be carrying yours around? Oh, I thank God for the blood. The enemy does not want you to know that you have been forgiven and that you have a new life in Christ with spiritual liberty through the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that allows you to be victorious and to tell the enemy no. You got power to tell the enemy no. Not today, not tomorrow. You've had enough of my life already. We're living beneath our privilege because we think we're stuck. And we tell ourselves, well, that's the way our family is. My daddy was the same way. My mama was the same way. Don't rationalize your mess. Give it to Jesus. Say, God, break this generational curse. God, break this mess from my life. God, I don't want to be that way. You can look in the mirror and say, God, I know what happened to my brothers and sisters. I know what happened to my family. But God, if you need somebody to be different, I am a candidate for being God. I'm not saying I'm better than them. I'm not saying I'm worse than them. I just know that through the blood of Jesus, through the power of that stuff that can happen in my life, I don't want to go through what they've been through. If you know somebody that's been through something, and you look, you don't have to go through that. There's a lot of people tell themselves, look, I love my mama, I love my daddy, but I ain't going through what y'all went through. I am not going to be fighting all the time. I get mad. I'm not going to use my children's chess pieces as strategic weapons in my relationship. When things go bad in my life, I am not going to the bar and spend all my money. I'm not going to the spirit shop, the state store. I'm not going to the drug man on the corner. I'm going to give this thing to Jesus. Because I believe that when he gets finished with it, I'm going to be all right. I'm not going to be
I'm not going to have a hangover because he was hung up. Why should I hang over when he was hung up? He was hung up, then I don't have to hang over. I'm not going to be depressed, oppressed, suppressed. Look, you may have to go talk to somebody about what's going on in your life, but after a while, bye-bye. Have two sessions, one with the professional and one with the professional. Professional and a confessional. God, I went because they told me to go. They said if I didn't go, they're going to fire me. So I went. But you and I know.
You've been washed in the blood. See, salvation is more than just not going to eternal damnation. It's the very life that we have. It's like walking in the newness of life in Romans 6:4. That's what it is. And what it simply means is Jesus took our sin. Our sin became his sin. Our death, his death became our death. His resurrection became our resurrection. No burden, no guilt, no stain. And if you, and this scripture saying it in 1 John, if you really love God, you won't want to sin no more. When you really love God, you don't want to hurt him. You don't want to just frustrate his grace and mercy and love just by going about doing what you want to do. When there's a relationship there, if you're really in love with your spouse, you don't want to hurt them. If somebody hurting you, they don't love you. I'm sorry. That's a wrong kind of love. Every time you turn around, they hurting you, you making excuses. Something wrong with that. I'm here to tell you. Yeah, look, I know that's true. That kind of pain and foolishness. Look, you just go ahead and wash your face and put some makeup on, baby. Walk outside. See, the brother will say, hey. Brother, you wash your face, get dressed up. Y'all, look. Y'all stuck all up in that mess. They don't love you like God. I said, no. You are a different person. And don't look for people to applaud you and clap when you tell them you accept Christ. Because it means something totally different for them. But guess what? If you don't accept Christ, if you die in your sin, what are they going to do for you? Come to your funeral and tell them, yeah, we used to hang out together. I said, yeah, if you don't get your life together, y'all going to hang out together again. It's going to be pretty hot. It's going to be pretty hot. There's going to be heat down there. My God. People do that all the time. Like, I just do services and, people strung out. They had an overdose. And the friends come in. He took too much. Fool, you better get off that stuff. You can't even stand still. He took too much. Stop. People I went to school with. They still talking the same story. I see people in South Philly. Yeah, man. One day I'm going to be just like you. Do you know I'm over 50 years old, fool? When that day go come? Do you know a man? Do you know a man? I'm not better than you, but I tell you, you need to go get Jesus and get washed in the blood. Yeah, I'm going to come by your church. It ain't my church, but come on by. But thank God for the blood. I'm walking a different walk. I'm talking a different talk. I'll let anybody know who my Savior is. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. God said, you ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I believe the word of God. And we need to walk around like we got a Savior. How can we walk around doing everything what everybody else does? Believe what everybody else believes if Jesus is your Savior. You ought to believe different, walk different, see different, talk different, and everything. When something happens in your life and something be jumping off, you ought to say, Lord, look, I don't have the answer. I really don't like what I'm going through, but I'm trusting you, God. Trust the Lord with all thy heart. Lead not to thy own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge. He shall direct thy path. And you know what? You got the blood on you. That's why the enemy picks on you. When you step outside, he see the red. He see red and get mad. He look at me and said, that dude, Doug, he used to be mine, man. He's one of my favorite persons. And he done turned over to somebody else. See if I can't get him back. That's what the enemy wants to do. But once you anchored in the Lord and the blood of Jesus is on your life, see, the enemy, The enemy does not want you to go around praising God for the power of the blood of Jesus. He can't stand that because he knows that, you know, that blood of Jesus, he knows he can't do nothing with that. See, you see what happened? When Jesus was born, he tried to stop him from going through the cross. And then when he found out Jesus was going to go to the cross, he got mad and tried to tell everybody he was a phony. But once that blood fell, because in the Old Testament, when you committed sin, you used to kill an animal sacrifice. And God would accept the blood of the animal as a covering for your sin. And it was a foreshadow of Jesus Christ who was to come. But after Christ came, enemy got messed up. As soon as he pierced him in the side, that's why Jesus said, "I don't think you want to lift me up." I know what some would do for evil, my Father going to turn out for good. But I don't think y'all really want this blood. Look, when y'all whip me and they open my skin, that blood, look, I thank God for the blood. But when that blood flowed out of his side at Calvary, that's all we needed. And that's the same blood that has us in the relationship that we're in today. And can't nobody love you and do you like the Lord. As a matter of fact, I thank God for the blood that came streaming down from Calvary for me. It was the blood that made the difference at Calvary. And there's a song that Brother Dennis has back there that talks about nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. I thank God for the blood. I'm ready to shout about the blood. I've been washed in the blood. I'm sanctified in the blood. God has lifted me up, turned me around, and placed my feet on solid ground. Y'all know this song? Don't let nobody lie to you. Nothing else can wash away your sin. Nothing but the blood. Come on, somebody. If you want to fellowship with him, we got to get rid of the darkness.